Welcome to American Indian and Alaskan Native Living, a program designed to educate and inspire listeners throughout Indian country. American Indian and Alaskan Native Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he is here today to help you learn more about your health. Here is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We've got an exciting show lined up for you today, and some really great guests are going to be behind the mic here shortly. We are so pleased, as we've been having the privilege over the course of this year to do, having our associate producer, Dr. Joni Bakavoy, with me for today's program. Joni, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
So, Joni, you and I are representing half of North America. I've got the Eastern time zone covered here in Indiana. You've got the Central time zone going into the Southwest there in Oklahoma. And we're so grateful that we've got guests joining us, not from the U.S., but from Canada, taking in the rest of North America, going all the way up to the West Coast there in British Columbia. So are you sharing my enthusiasm for the show we've got coming up?
Yes, I am so excited today. This is going to be a wonderful show.
Well, let us introduce our guest for you from British Columbia. First is the director for the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Canada's Indigenous Reconciliation Ministries, and that is Brad Dennis. Brad, it's so great to have you with us on the show.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. And Tichimhiakwa Uklama Kohonasat. Hello, my name is Kohonasat. Kohonasat is from the Hoyt language, from the west coast of Vancouver Island. I'm Hoyt on my father's side, and on my mother's side, I'm British, German, and Russian and Swiss.
Well, it's great to have you, Brad, and great to hear about the work you've been doing. Dr. Bakavoy and I have enjoyed speaking with you in the past. We're so glad to have you on the show. We're equally privileged to have Deanna Dennis with us. Deanna is Brad's wife. She is the associate director for the SDA Seventh-day Adventist Church in Canada's Indigenous Reconciliation Ministries. Deanna, it's great to have you with us as well.
Yes, thank you for welcoming us. My name is Deanna Dennis, and I come from Southern California, actually, originally, and I've been married to Brad 25 years.
So it's wonderful to hear about the work you've been doing. Dr. Bakavoy and I, like I mentioned just a moment ago, have had the privilege of visiting with you folks, learning about the amazing work that you're doing. And Joni, I know you've taken some time and drafted some areas of interest that you especially have from your deep background in Indian country that you thought would be of interest to our listeners, both Native listeners as well as non-Native listeners.
Yes, thank you so much. Brad and Deanna, I'm so excited to have an opportunity to converse with you all. And I know we've had some conversations, but today we're going to share some really important things for our listeners. And so my first question is, can you tell us a little bit about your background, both your family and professional background?
Yeah, I have my master's degree in social work. I received that in 2003 and my bachelor's in 2001. And Deanna and I have been married for 25 years, three children, a 19-year-old, her name is Sarita, a 17-year-old named Isla, and our 12-year-old named Cedar. And I'm also a registered clinical social worker here in British Columbia.
That's fantastic. And Deanna, tell me a little of your background.
Yeah, so my dad is originally from Mexico. And my mom is from the U.S. and identifies more as Chicana. It's a different experience of those who have been born in the U.S. but identify as Mexican. And just sort of the cultural identity there is a little bit different than my dad's side. That's very traditional. And Brad and I met in Walla Walla. 1997 is when we met. We're both social workers. I have my MSW as well, and most of my work has been in child and family mental health in the States. We have three children. We homeschool. It's part of our intentional practice around decolonizing our family life. So we get a lot of time as a family to have fun together, to work together, to grow together, heal together, all of that. So it's been an incredible journey.
Yeah, the homeschooling journey is actually very valuable because my father went to residential school and, you know, they are the first ones in our family history, recent family history, to be educated by mom, which is how we originally did things. And so, yeah.
So I love where you guys are coming from and this whole theme of decolonizing Christianity. I know that's been one of the themes of your work. A lot of the folks who tune into the show, some identify as Christians and others, Christianity, let's face it. I mean, you mentioned residential schools, boarding schools, a lot of connections with Christian religions. Many indigenous peoples, we all are aware, have had negative experiences with, quote, Christianity. And it's almost a profane word. I mean, honestly, right? In some circles. So you are representing, the two of you, the Seventh-day Adventist Church and decolonizing Christianity, reclaiming it, is it fair to say, the native roots of true Christianity? Is that kind of a distillation of what you're up to?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, for us, I want our people to understand what took place in the system. And so what I've done is I've gone to the tool of that system, that oppressive system that came here to North America. And I want to be able to explain to our people what actually is stated in there, and that the Bible is against colonization. Hmm. The Bible is supposed to be a tool that was to bring hope and love, not fear, control, power, and manipulation.
Hmm.
And you know, those tools are used often to get what we want. And that was land. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really been something that, since we met in college, we both were on a personal journey of really wanting and needing to reconcile this and to see, what is this book really about? Beyond the influence and the filtering of denomination or religion, we wanted to just dive into understanding this book fresh and to actually understand it as Indigenous people. Like, what does it mean for us? And as we became a family and started raising our children very early on, we made sure to teach our children these ways and to understand that some of the things we're learning in this book, we don't yet see in any denomination. We don't yet see in institutional churches, because the message that's in there is so, it's so counter to so much of our colonial framework of church and Christianity. But yet we can look at our traditional ways and we can see so much alignment in our traditional ways of family life, our traditional ways of collective and collaborative sufficiency in society, where there was no wealth and poverty. Everybody had enough and people took care of each other. And we see that in the Bible. And those ways, at the same time that we were digging in to understand this book with fresh eyes, we were also learning to study and understand our traditional ways and to decolonize some of the just daily family life practices that we've gone away from. And as we began to study our traditional ways, and as we began to study this book, we began to realize, wow, it's the same thing. And so it's just been an intentional journey of teaching our kids these ways to not get caught up in any subculture, whether that subculture is a Christian denomination or whether that subculture is in society. We've got to get back to the traditional ways when our people were thriving.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is exciting. To me, you know, from my background's Cherokee Nation, and I also have an uncle that went through boarding school and had a lot of trauma through that. And so hearing what you're sharing is something that I think I can also share with my relatives. Also, as we talk about what you're doing, I love what you're talking about with your family, because you're living what you're trying to share with others. You're actually living it.
Yeah.
And got young people who can now be, you know, they can rub shoulders with other kids in the community and share their take on this, which I think is really neat.
Yeah. For me, the heart of it is God created us to be unique, our creator. In our, in my language is Nas. Nas, it means a creator of all things.
Hmm.
That he created us to be unique like no other. We are created in his image. And so for us, we're telling our kids, our children, you don't need to be like anyone else. You don't need to be involved in any other of these subgroups. You are who you are. And what the world often tries to do is to make us like each other. And to me, that is really wrong. And that's how our teachings are at home. And they also align with what is actually written in scripture, that we are not to be alike. And residential school was a tool that when I read the Bible narrative, it's a tool of an entity called Babylon, which is confusion. We forget who you are. And I remember just yesterday talking to a friend. She said, my aunt, she said, my grandfather used to braid my hair every morning and said, remember who you are. And she said, one day, somebody's going to even try to help you forget your name. That's how bad it's going to get. And sure enough, she went to residential school. So he was prophesying to her and giving her strength to remember who you are. And that's what decolonizing is remembering who you are and going back to that.
And so we talk a lot about delineating between colonial Christianity, which we understand is Babylon, the wolf in sheep's clothing, this intermingling of saying you're an image bearer, but yet you're working as an empire builder in this world. That contrasted with true biblical Christianity, which the only place we really see a good example of that is in Church of Acts 2, where it was about collective sufficiency of a community. Everybody was looking out for each other. People were not about securing their own the way that we see in colonial Christianity, the way that we see in colonization, where there's always a spirit of, I deserve more than you have, and I'm going to do whatever I can to get it. And our children, if you met them, if they were here on this interview, they could share with you in their own way what this has all been for them. They speak about it as much as we do, and they're very vocal about it as well in their own gentle way. And it's been exciting to see for them as we homeschool, we're able to help shift the narrative of history for them in a new way.
I love this tension, the way you describe it, of image bearer versus empire builder. Can you break that down a little bit more, Brad, for us to understand those two concepts?
Yeah, you know, I use this to help educate our people because the Bible was used to show two different contrasting things that were actually predicted to take place. And that is, one, an empire is going to come that's going to try to influence us and distort who we are. So the image bearer is, we are created in the image of God. And the image of God is his character, which is
love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control.
So if we understand, okay, if someone comes to me and says, I am this image bearer, but if they're speaking hate, if they're speaking fear, if they're using power, control, and manipulation, and greed and gluttony,
covetousness,
what happened in our territory is they discarded a book and they picked up our copper and gold. And that's gluttony. They saw our land and they took our land. That's gluttony. That is empire building when someone tries to come in and take over an area. And what we share with people is that is a distorted image and distorted narrative of the book of Exodus. And so that's one place that people can go to in order to see what is about this empire building is how the distortion took place.
We want to talk a lot more about this. If you're joining us today for the first time and didn't catch the introductions, I'm listening to Brad and Deanna Dennis as they're sharing from their cultural perspective up in British Columbia, indigenous insights into really reframing the whole dialogue when it comes to Christianity. I'm Dr. David DeRose, my co-host, Dr. Joni Bakavoy. We're going to step away just briefly. You're listening to the show American Indian and Alaska Native Living. We've got a lot more coming up, a lot more fascinating things that can make a difference for you in your life today. Stay tuned. I'm Dr. DeRose.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please reach out to us on the web at AIANL.org. That stands for American Indian Alaska Native Living. Again, AIANL.org. Or you can call us at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When Jim died, I wondered if I would be able to keep the farm. Then I heard about the USDA's loan program for socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers. It's for women and minorities who may be having trouble getting credit. Once I was approved, the USDA's Farm Service Agency helped me get the credit I needed. Now I don't have to sell, and I can pass the farm down to my kids the way Jim's dad passed it down to him. I know he'd like that.
Contact your local USDA service center or visit www.fsa.usda.gov.
Social Security is with you through life's journey from birth to retirement. As your life changes year to year, so do your needs. For over 80 years, Social Security has helped to meet your needs and is committed to improving access to the services that make a difference in your life. Today, you can verify your earnings, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement, manage your benefits, and even change your address, all from the comfort of your home. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Dr. Joni Bakavoy joining me in our virtual studio. I'm in Indiana. She's in Oklahoma. And our guests, Brad and Deanna Dennis, are in British Columbia. Joni, this has been an amazing show. And I know it's engaging a lot of our listeners. We have a lot of folks who come from traditional indigenous backgrounds and a lot of distance between those perspectives sometimes, and understandably how Christianity, as some of us would describe, has been misrepresented in Indian country. We've got a lot of Native listeners and non-Native listeners who identify with the Christian worldview. So Joni, the Dennises are really trying to bring these two worlds together. We've heard some of that so far in the show. Dr. Bakavoy, where do you think we need to go from here? And maybe you can direct a salient question or two toward the Dennises.
Okay. So, Brad and Deanna, I am so interested in what you've already shared. Very interesting. And I know this is a 25-year journey, and you have such a rich way of sharing kind of what you're doing. But I know that as you were doing this journey, there's something else that happened and had to do with video. So I want you to just tell us a little bit about that and how you ended up sharing your journey in a more robust way.
Yeah, I have a passion for our people to understand what's going on in this world and truth, and, you know, having an accurate telling of history. And so my father went to residential school, and so I wanted to tell his story of residential school experience and how that directly relates to colonization. And so our family decided that we were going to do this video, but I wanted to make sure that the story had certain elements in the film. And because I thought this was going to be our only one that we would ever make, I packed a lot of detail into it. And so one was I wanted to tell his story. Each episode would be another little couple minutes of the story. And I wanted to talk about decolonizing our mind, our body, our spirit, and our relationship to nature and others. I wanted a film that would also interview other healthy Indigenous people on their journey with decolonizing their life and those four different areas of their life.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted the film to be on location. I wanted to, if we're talking with someone, we're going to go to Haida Gwaii, we're going to go to Texas, we're going to go to Idaho, Washington, BC, Alberta. So we went to the people where they're at, so that we were able to tell their story
in
their territory in an authentic way, where when people are talking about grass, we see the grass. When we're talking about water, they see the water and they're interacting with it in the film. So we wanted to have all of these different elements in there, but I also wanted to have the counter to colonization in it. And I wanted to use scripture, because scripture was what was used. The Bible was what was used to excuse these things.
Hmm.
But I'm actually using the Bible to say it actually condemns you for doing this.
Hmm.
And so I'll let Deanna share more of the details here.
Yeah. So it actually began when we were one day, we were talking as a family about just how much we were so moved by how much these journeys of understanding our traditional ways and understanding the truth of what's really in the Bible about all of this. We thought, you know what, why don't we make a little film series? Our older daughter was really into some video editing, and we thought, let's just do a little family thing where we can put something on YouTube and have people see that there is a way to be both. There's a way to be traditional and to love the truth of the Bible and to understand that it's actually the same thing. And so we had this little plan, and that week someone contacted us who was working on the national level work in the church and said, hey, what are the projects you guys are working on lately? We just want to kind of get an update. And we just shared this idea and said, it's just a little idea, but we're just going to do it on the side. It's just going to be our little family thing. And he asked, you know, how can we look at getting that professionally produced? And we thought, oh, actually, right before this, Brad had said, you know what, this is such a neat idea. Maybe we should look into fundraising to get it professionally produced. And we said, you know, if God wants it to go that big, then he'll bring the money. We don't even need to ask. Let's not do that. Let's just work on it. And then that week we got a call from someone asking and said, well, let us know what would be a quote for getting it professionally produced. And we contacted an old colleague of ours from college who had a video production company in the States. And he gave us a quote. We sent it in. And within a couple weeks, we heard it was going to be at least 50% funded. And so then we just volunteered our time over, it's been now 3 years, close to 3 years of producing this film series. And when we thought about the story, we began to realize, okay, if it's going to be professionally produced, we need to bring more people into this. We know we have a lot of friends and colleagues who are both walking that journey of decolonizing their life in different areas, whether it's in mind, body, spirit, and relationships, or a combination, and the steps that they've taken as a family. We wanted people to see that there's lots of families who are walking this journey of believing in walking in their biblical faith and decolonizing their life, and how actually the two have inspired the other. And so we began contacting people and we began praying, if there's more out there, you got to show us who these people are. And it was incredible, because every time after we would interview, there's four interviews per episode from people who are in the U.S. and Canada. And after we'd interview a group of people, we'd say, okay, we've run out of people to interview. And then all of a sudden we'd go somewhere to some conference or somewhere and we'd meet more people, or people would tell us about more people. And so we began to meet Indigenous people who are walking through this journey together across the continent. And the piece of the story we really wanted to contextualize it within is the story of the ancient sanctuary that we read about in Exodus. And because we thought that story, there's so many elements to the teachings in our culture, we call it Hayupa. It's the teachings is what we want to extract from this ancient sanctuary. And so many of those teachings and even the symbolic elements of the sanctuary are so in line with so many traditional teachings that often get attacked by churches, you know? And so we began to go in that path and we wanted to use sanctuary. So we came up with an acronym that would describe this. And it's looking at the letters of the word sanctuary and what they tell about each episode.
So I think that the way you've put it with that acronym and what you've done has been fantastic, because I've listened to some of those videos And as I heard the people's stories, it's so in line, exactly like you said, with those different aspects of the sanctuary. Just really touched my heart.
So Deanna and Brad, folks that understand a biblical worldview, you mentioned sanctuary, they're seeing pictures in their mind, they're identifying with it. But for other listeners who say sanctuary, isn't that a city or something where they're not cooperating with the government? So help us to understand this concept of sanctuary biblically and why it's so powerful in helping to understand an indigenous worldview.
Yeah, for me, it's valuable because one, I want our people, like I've been saying, to understand the tool that was misinterpreted to excuse what took place through colonization. And we're reinterpreting that. And so there's an author in the Bible, his name is David, and he wrote a really interesting line. He says, "Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary." And so in our teachings, pathways are very, very important. It's a ashi in my language. It's a pathway. In our teaching, there's a pathway to the right, there's a pathway to the middle, and there's a pathway to the left. And only one of them is the right pathway for us to go on. And so we decided that we wanted to use the sanctuary because this is, within Christianity, one of the most important teachings. But it also aligns with our teaching of the longhouse. I come from a longhouse community. And in our longhouse, everything takes place within that sacred space. And I'll let Deanna talk about the intricacies of this. But for us, what was important for me is that it aligned with our teachings. And the Israelite people were a tribal people as well. That ancient Hebrew culture was a tribe just like us. And so when we look at that, many of their practices are the same. So Deanna, share the sanctuary.
Just to tag on to that last thing you said about the language, what's actually helped us to understand the Bible better than we have been taught it often is because we often look up words and teachings in the original language. We look them up in the Hebrew language or in the Aramaic language or in the Greek language, because when we do that, it helps us to understand the context, the cultural context that the Bible was actually written within. It was not written in a Eurocentric North American context. It was written within a different cultural context that actually is very much in alignment with the same cultural context of our communities. And so that's been really helpful. So going into the sanctuary, there's 10 episodes in this series, and we broke them up into 10 episodes that focus on the teachings, the hayupa of each of the elements of that sanctuary. So the word S is sacred place, healing pathway. And so that talks about the whole concept of what the sanctuary was to teach. Access, need, cleansing, teachings, unity, abiding, representing. And then yoked at the end.
We want to get more into this, but we're talking about this picture given in the scriptures of a mobile, a portable sacred space, the portable longhouse, if you will, mixing metaphors in perhaps a very inappropriate way. But ultimately then the sanctuary is embodied in the temple there in Jerusalem. And we're going to walk through that and see how this has these deep indigenous roots in the Middle East, but also relevant to us here in North America. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Our guests are Brad and Deanna Dennis. My co-host, Dr. Joni Bakavoy. We've got more fascinating material. It's not just interesting. This is stuff that has a practical difference in how you live your life. Stay tuned. We've got a lot more coming up in the second half of today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. We'll be right back.
American Indian and Alaska Native Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please contact us on the web at aianl.org or call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
A message from the National Police Association. It used to be that any able-bodied person would offer to assist a police officer in danger. Now, passersby are more likely to take a video. There's a better use for your phone when an officer's in trouble. Call 911. Tell the operator where you are and what you see. Then, start your video to provide evidence later. To learn more about how you can assist law enforcement, visit nationalpolice.org. That's nationalpolice.org.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose with my co-host, Dr. Joni Bakavoy. In our virtual studio, Brad and Deanna Dennis, they're doing some amazing work across tribal lines. They have the titles of director and associate director for the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Canada's Indigenous Reconciliation Ministries, but they're working with people across spiritual and geographic lines. It's so great to have you guys with us. Before we jump back into talking about the sanctuary, we've been talking about this picture that's given in the scriptures, something that was implemented in the history of Bible times, where there was this portable sacred space where the Creator was said to have met with his people in a tangible way. This then ultimately gave rise to a physical temple in Jerusalem. And maybe one of the questions from some of our listeners is, are we talking with Brad and Deanna here? Are they raising funds to build another sanctuary, a physical sanctuary, whether in North America or Jerusalem? Is this kind of where we're headed in this program?
No.
No, absolutely not. There's really the teachings of the ancient sanctuary that are written about in the Bible were really a symbolic way of showing us in a multi-sensory way about the teachings of the heavenly sanctuary, which is all about a restorative relationship with our Creator God. That's really what this earthly once upon a time in Exodus sanctuary was meant to teach us. And that's where we focus it, is that we draw out of each of those episodes what they teach us about developing a restorative relationship with our Creator God.
Thank you. Appreciate that clarification. That helps us understand kind of like where we're headed. So you started with S on our acronym for the sanctuary. So tell us now what A is.
So A stands for access, and that's really the teaching of the gate, the entryway. It was actually just a curtain, and there's intricate teachings about the embroidery on the curtain, the colors in the curtain. So we go into that in that episode as to how the gate of this ancient sanctuary teaches us about accessing a restorative relationship with our Creator God. N is for need, and that focuses on the teachings of the altar of sacrifice. And we go into what is that altar of sacrifice. All of these teachings are taught with the introduction coming from my husband's culture, from his story of his family, and how within his community, these teachings are also there. So it's showing how the same teachings within his family and his culture are the same teachings that we get from the ancient sanctuary. So need, and how we come to the awareness of our need for a restorative relationship with our Creator God. C is cleansing, and that goes into the teachings of the wash basin and how that really gives us some foundation for how we can understand the cleansing that comes from a restorative relationship with our Creator God.
So those are really interesting. So now, so it was C, cleansing. And I like it that it's from your husband's tribe perspective. And I think it's very interesting that even my culture, Cherokee, I know there's a lot of similarities. And so I think it's a great opportunity to listen and then apply it to our own cultures and see kind of how that connection is.
So I'm just trying to make sure we're all tracking here. If you're just joining us on the show, we're walking through a mnemonic, a memory device. We're going through the word sanctuary. And Deanna is walking us through different elements of this sanctuary presented in the Bible and showing how, rather than being a foreign concept that was designed to be used to exploit cultures, it's just the opposite. So we're walking through S, then A, then N. And before we get further along, I know some folks, if they're like me, they're getting a little frustrated. And I say, like me, I kind of know the answer, but if I'm just listening to this without the background information Dr. Bacavoy and I have, I'm getting frustrated because you're talking about a video series and someone's saying, well, is this video series out? Can I watch episodes of this? That sounded interesting about access, but 30 seconds? I mean, you guys have this out there. Tell us about how we can access and learn more about it.
Yeah, we have a website that's available for free. It's also on YouTube. You can get the video series on journeyhome.world. Journeyhome.world. Right now, there's 8 episodes available for free. And we are editing the last seconds of episodes 9 and 10 from our very last interview. So yeah, please go there, see what you like about it. And we'd love to hear your thoughts as well. You know, we'd love to hear comments. And so please send us an email. It's all available on that website, journeyhome.world. Love to dialogue with you about it.
And on the website, it does explain all of this. If you go into the About page, it explains the acronym and all of those teachings. It also goes into the scriptures that really are some foundation for what launched this. It explains even the name and the music that we chose at the intro music and the theme music. Everything's there to just give you a real strong foundation for where we're coming from and where we hope to go with this.
To catch up where Deanna's at, it's a very simple system that's laid out in the sanctuary. And one is that there's a sacred place. That's the sanctuary. This place that's supposed to be safe. A sanctuary is a place of safety. And then we're going to talk about the access. It's a very simple access point. It's not a gate that we have. It's a curtain that's easily anybody can push through. And then there's this altar that's there. And the altar is our Creator God sacrificed himself. I don't sacrifice. He sacrificed. And what we are told as indigenous people, I need to sacrifice my culture, leave my culture. I need to get rid of our story, our totem poles that we have. Get rid of those things. And that's not, he sacrificed. And then the next symbol is this wash basin. Wash up, because the next thing that we're going to do is we're going to eat. And there it's talking about this, the word in there is called the table of showbread, which is actually his teachings, which is actually the Bible. So it's a very, very simple living room kind of setting. It's a house setting. It's a longhouse setting in my worldview. So that's where we're at right now, is a summary of getting to the point where Deanna's talking about now, the teachings that are in there.
And maybe I should just ask Dr. Bacavoy for just one other bit of perspective, because it's obvious that Brad and Deanna are excited about their own project. But Dr. Bacavoy, you have actually viewed some of these video productions. You don't have any financial interest. You're not connected directly with the project. What is your objective assessment of what you've seen so far from their work?
Well, I'll tell you what's really cool as I've been listening to it, and I've been a Christian my whole life. But this has actually given me actually more understanding into what the sanctuary is all about. Because of the stories, it's made it simpler and easy to understand. I love the stories. And that's actually, I would love to see if you could tell us one of the stories that kind of goes with any of the acronyms, because that to me was what really touched my heart.
Sure. Yeah, I'll start with just the access. So in my territory, I'm a coastal territory nation. And so the ocean and the beach is our access point when for guests are coming in. So in our practice, when someone's paddling to our territory, if they're coming in peace, they would put their paddles upside down they would take it out of the water and hold it up in the air. And that was and is now a symbol of peace in our community. And so the person would say, here's why I am here. Here's why I'm coming. If they are paddling and if they keep paddling, we know that they're coming for war. And in this, and we welcome people, we are very extravagant in our gift giving. And when the colonists came, I read it in their journals. It said, they think that we're gods because they're showering us with all these gifts. No, we called them Mamathni in my language, which means people that are wandering lost in the ocean. And our welcoming was how we welcome everybody that comes in peace. But we also expected them to leave the same way. And the problem is they misinterpreted our gift giving. Our generosity. And so we say this access point is we say we get permission first. And that's what our creator has. He says, I'm not forcing me on you. If you want me to come, I'll come. And it's a very gentle approach. And so access is about peace.
And it's even in our logo, the journeyhome.world logos, you'll notice in the logo, there's the two upright white paddles, and they actually symbolize teachings in the Bible of the paddles that mobilize the canoe. That's all in there too, explanation about the teachings of the logo. But just to also piggyback on that piece is that generosity is really, that's such an intricate value within the cultural worldview, the cultural traditional worldview. And that is the value of our creator God written about in the Bible. He was so generous. He sacrificed himself, not because we are gods, but because he is so generous and his love is so great. And that's really that same metaphor that even we see the colonial system outlawed potlatches because they had a problem with the fact that, wow, these people are so generous. They give even the posts of their house, and it was outlawed, which is so strange because that generosity is so rooted in biblical principles that they were professing to follow.
Mm. You guys are helping us to see some of the teachings. So we've talked about sacred places, access, need, cleansing, getting into teaching here. Deanna, why don't you help us get further into this sanctuary mnemonic where each letter represents a different perspective?
Yeah, so T is for teachings, and that takes us to what we get from the teachings of the table of bread that was inside the first room of this ancient sanctuary. And we go into really helping to understand that in the process of building this restorative relationship with our creator God, it's important to eat from his table, to eat his words. And that's so critical right now today. I think this one was a very important one for us because so many people are just listening to their favorite preacher, their favorite author, their favorite whatever, teaching them about what the Bible says, instead of actually digging in and eating the words for themselves. We have a little saying we say, when you're only listening and believing the teachings of the Bible from your favorite preacher, it's like you're always eating regurgitated food. It's like you're always eating already been chewed food. Why not eat fresh food? Be the first one to chew that food yourself, because the Bible actually says that the Holy Spirit will lead all people into truth. And right now we're living in a day where so few people actually know how to read the Bible directly taught by the Holy Spirit. We too often depend on a preacher to interpret it for us, and then we just follow them. So this teaching was really important for us.
I love that. And actually, that was one of the things that stood out. It wasn't like you're trying to make it so you're now the interpretation of the Bible, but you're really trying to get people to the Bible to read it and to understand it from their cultural context. So I love that. Spot on.
And then the U is for unity. And that's the teaching that we get from the lamp. There's a lamp in that same room, that first compartment of that sanctuary. There was a lamp, and the lamp really teaches us about having to constantly be in unity with our creator, which when we are in unity with our creator, we will reflect his character. And that's how we will be light in dark places. Too often we depend on words to be the light around us. We think that we need to go into dark places and just spew a bunch of Bible words to people, when really the greatest way to bring light is to, if you are in unity, if you are, that lampstand was lit by oil, a wick, and fire. And those three things teach us about how we can be in unity with our creator to be a light.
So I was wondering, Brad, if you could tell a little bit of story with that to kind of share and give us some enlightenment.
Well, we definitely want to hear from Brad, but we do have to step away just briefly. It was a great stopping point to mention that you can engage more with this topic simply by going on their website. It's easy to remember if you realize we've been talking about a journey home. The website is simply journeyhome.world. It's for everybody on planet Earth. Journeyhome.world, that's where you can find these full videos. We do have to step away. We're going to hear more of those videos distilled, some of their high points in our final segment with Brad and Deanna Dennis. I'm Dr. David DeRose with Dr. Joni Bakavoy. We'll be back right after this.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What is a number story?
My number story started with fear and a lack of support, and it has led me to be there for others.
A number story begins in our childhood with ACEs, adverse childhood experiences.
My number story begins with the separation from my father and the emotional abandonment from my mother, and leads to me being a role model to not only myself, but those around me by becoming the person that wasn't there for me.
ACEs are so common, 2/3 of us have one.
My number story begins with drug abuse and homelessness, and leads to realizing that I can live life by my own standards.
A study found the more ACEs, the more likely we may experience a host of serious health effects, physical and mental, but that doesn't need to be the case. Your ACE number is simply an entry point to your own story. Where it leads is up to you.
My number story begins with years of emotional abuse, and leads to peace, clarity, and security in my self-worth.
Take control of where your number story leads at numberstory.org.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaskan Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to our final segment of today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Dr. Joni Bakavoy, my co-host. Joni, you had a great question you raised just before we stepped away. But before we get to that question, I'll turn it back to you. For those who may just have jumped on, or maybe they heard us introduce the Dennises, maybe they had to step away for a bit. Our guests are two individuals who are masters in social work trained leaders among Native people and non-Natives, working especially in the area of, well, they've been labeling it themselves, decolonizing Christianity. Brad is the director, Deanna is the associate director for the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Canada's Indigenous Reconciliation Ministries. And Brad, maybe before we go back to the stream of the dialogue, people are saying, what is this Reconciliation Ministries? Can you give us a quick overview of what you guys really do?
Yeah, so the Reconciliation Ministry, specifically with Indigenous peoples, we want to reconcile the distorted image that colonization brought about our Creator God. And all of us talk about our Creator, including colonists. But what they have done is they've used that to say, well, my God, my interpretation of God is the best interpretation of God. And that's very destructive. That's a very, very destructive force. And so we want to reconcile the image of God. And by talking about that, in our film episode, we have this idea of this lampstand. And this lampstand is a light. It's a common light. And that common light is our light as well. It's not just a light from him, but he says, look, I'm going to share my light with you as well. And for us, it's about our character, who we are. And so for us, when we did is in that episode, we talked about how I named my daughter. I named her Sarita, which is when the Spanish people came through, they named that area Sarita, but we call that space Cuxhuis. Cuxhuis Aksap. She is woman from Cuxhuis. She has a place and a name. And so colonization tried to take that place away from her, away from us. But we said, no, her name is woman from Cuxhuis. And for us, it's also attached. The name also has a character reference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In 2010, Brad's family did a name-giving potlatch. And in that name-giving potlatch, elders met to decide on the name that was going to be given, the ancestral name that would be given to several family members. The way that name is chosen is they'd meet together and they discuss the character. They discuss the things that they see this person accomplishing for the community, and then they name them according to that. So everyone was given a name that was tied to their character. And he goes into that teaching and how that really is about, the lampstand is about teaching us that when we are in unity with our Creator, the light that He gives comes and shines through us as well. And we reflect that character. That's what we're supposed to do, is reflect His character.
That's great. That is so interesting to me. And it makes it so personal, because a name has such a powerful impact because you carry that with you the rest of your life. So I think that's really an interesting thing. So would you like to share with us then the last acronyms for the sanctuary?
So then the A is for abiding, and that teaching comes from the altar of incense. In that same room between the lamp and the bread, the right before the curtain that went into the next compartment of this building of the sanctuary was an altar of incense. And we talk about how the teaching of that is abiding in the presence of our Creator God through constant prayer. And this is a really important teaching, because this is the part of our culture that often gets attacked within churches, is the idea of burning incense to pray. And yet right here in this ancient sanctuary, it was the very first multi-sensory experience of showing that our prayers were not to a priest, they're not to another person, they are prayers directly between us and the Creator. And so we go into the teachings of the incense that shows us that, so the abiding presence.
And for us, we have, it's smudging. We're asking our Creator to protect our eyes, our ears, our mind, our heart, our hands, so we do good things, our feet, so they'll walk in a good way. And so we use that to help, because there's a lot of Christians, a lot of indigenous people believe that some part of these certain aspects of their culture are evil. And the one thing that is going to help us still, our prayers, some people even want to take that from us. And that is very, very, very destructive. And so by us putting that into this, we want to help indigenous people and indigenous Christians who have been taught that certain practices of their culture are evil. We want to reconcile that back into right light.
Using the biblical principles.
I love that, because I've heard that over and over. To be a Christian, you have to like get rid of all your cultural practices, but that's never the issue here. And I love how you're just showing there's so many things from the Bible that is in line with different cultural practices. So it's not just throwing everything out.
Yeah. And Joni, every episode we look at a cultural practice in this. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then R is for representing. We get that teaching from the next room in the sanctuary. There was a box. It was called the Ark of the Covenant. So the last three episodes go into these three elements that were put into this box. There was a bowl of manna, which was the food that came from heaven. There was this budded rod. And then there was the Ten Commandments that were written with the finger of God. And we unpack the teachings of those three elements in the last three. So the R stands for representing. We get this from the teaching of the Ten Commandments, which is really the foundation of the love that our Creator's kingdom is built upon. And we talk about how that is about representing. When we follow that law of love, we represent Him. We represent His love. And that's really the calling for people to come into that, join this relationship with Him. And then the Y is for yoked, and that we get from the teaching of the budded almond branch. When we're yoked in this servant relationship with our servant Creator who served us and is calling for us to choose that life of service to our fellow humanity, we really get to embody what our Creator meant for all of us to embody for each other. And if we're all doing that, then there is this sort of collective servanthood to each other and to Him. And then the last one is, there's not a letter for it, but it's a symbol of the cross. And it's the symbolic teaching that comes from the bowl of manna, which is to teach us about this faithful collective sufficiency for all. And we see so many examples of that, where the true people who are faithful to this restorative relationship with our Creator are going to be the people who care about the collective good, not about their own individual good. They're going to use everything that's been given in this creation for us to ensure that there is enough for everyone and no one has more than the other.
And David and Joni, lastly for me here, in all the episodes, we have, as much as we can, the experience of Indigenous people across North America. We have people that went to residential school. We have people that were in the 60 scoop taken up into Indian child welfare. We have people that are African Indigenous, white Indigenous. And so we have a full spectrum of what we look like, because I want people to understand we don't look the same. And all of these people have a space. And so we often think that, oh, we need to be traditional, we need to know our culture. The people that were taken away and put into residential schools or into foster homes, they don't know their culture, but that is our experience now. And we want those people to feel comfortable being who they are as well.
It's powerful. I know you guys started by talking about a single video that you're going to just do on your own. We've talked now about a huge project. Folks who are tuning into today's show can watch the various episodes. This is due to be released, the program that we're recording today, in March of 2026. You may even be able to catch all 10 of the episodes of Journey Home by that time.
Yes.
Again, the website, help us out. If someone's wanting to watch these videos or connect with you guys, there's a contact us link. How do they do that?
Yeah, go to journeyhome.world. Again, journeyhome.world. And we'd love to interact with you.
So before we step away, we frame this single project, now multiple videos, professionally produced. You guys are not done. There's some other things coming up. Tell us about it.
Yeah, briefly, we're doing an animated series. We have three animators working on it right now. And it's an animated series about a group of coastal animals, a deer, a bear, an eagle, an otter. And they discover a book that was discarded. And they discover that the book was discarded because a man threw the book down and he picked up gold and copper and walked away. Mm. And the story is about colonization. And they bring this Bible to the storyteller and they ask him to read this. And in our culture, we have stories. We knew of the man called Jesus before Christians came. And so the story goes through three episodes of these animals as they discover the truths of that there was colonization in the Bible, but there's also building God's kingdom. And that's what the story is about. So it'll be very exciting for you to join us to watch that.
The working title for now is Decolonizing Christianity.
Okay, very good. Joni, we got to wind things up. What kind of final remarks do you have as we close today's show?
Oh, I have tears in my eyes because every time we talk with them, it just touches my heart that I can share this with my relatives and that they can have a better understanding of Jesus. So thank you so much.
Yeah, and we thank you, everybody here, for letting us be in your space. We know that you're turning the radio on, and we honor that. And
okay. So, thank you for letting us share our journey.
Yeah, klikol, klikol.
Thank you also very much, both Brad and Deanna Dennis, as well as Dr. Joni Bakavoy. And especially thanks to you, our listeners. As always, I'm Dr. David DeRose, wishing you the very best of health.
Native Voice One. The Native American Radio Network.